Hello, friends. I'm Den Delmarski, the host of the Work Item Podcast. It's the end of 2024, which also means it's the end of the season 5 of the Work Item. In this episode, I'm bringing you a supercut of all the unconventional advice that our remarkable guests provided on this year's episodes. So I hope you enjoy this. I hope you take the advice to heart and actually put it to use in the coming year. Enjoy the show.
Do you want to grow your career because you want to make more money? Do you want to, did developer advocacy initially pique your interest because it's combining things that you like to do? Are you bored with just coding and doing, you know, building features and being on a software development team? What about developer advocacy initially drew you to it? Because if you just saw a job post that says, oh, developer advocacy, you can make more, and you want to switch over to that, you're going to have a bad time. Like there's a whole other set of skills that you need for developer advocacy. Another caveat, you know, some people are like, oh, developer advocacy, it's a dream job. You just go travel everywhere and you just write blog posts and you create content on stuff that you already know. And let's say you're already a content creator on the side of being a software developer. And you're like, well, let me just make it a job because why not? Well, like I said in the first episode, if it's something that you love, don't monetize it or don't actually make it into a job, because then it's going to be a bad time and you start to not like it anymore. The whole reason why you got into it in the first place on the side, on your own free time, is because you enjoyed it. Now you have metrics to hit. Now you have blog post quotas to hit. Now you have to travel way more often than you want to. And it's not just the conferences that you want to go to. It's, oh, we have a company conference here, here, and here, and you're expected to go there. And you need to help out with being at the booth. And you need to do all of these other, I would argue, mundane parts of developer advocacy that are part of the job. So it's a very open-ended question, right? Growing your career is very vague. Growing your career, what does that mean to you? Is it going all the way up to becoming a principal software engineer at your company and having that prestige, being able to lead a team, having more responsibilities or working on projects at a higher level, being an architect for that? You know, focusing more on the bigger picture, the system design, rather than just coding out the features. What is it that you want to do? What do you feel like is the growth of your career? And figuring that out first, I think will help you decide, oh, I actually kind of want to stay in software development. Or if you're like, no, I actually do want to try out using my skills in software development, but applying it to public speaking. Or I think I could create really, really good documentation and initial tutorials and demo apps because the ones I've seen are terrible. So I know I could do a better job. Like, those should be the guiding questions for yourself to point you in either direction. And then the last thing I'll say with the job prospects, you know, developer advocacy is fairly new, and just looking at the job market, typically the tech layoffs I've seen have affected developer advocacy. So take with that what you will. Maybe in the future, it's going to start growing again and we'll see more people needing that. But I think it's just something to consider. I think with software development, personally, software development is a much safer bet to stay within software development. But yeah, if you're wanting to try it out, developer advocacy, not just for the money, not just for the potential, you know, glamorous lifestyle of traveling around, then yeah, why not take a shot? And if your company actually would be willing to let you try that, why not try whatever it is about developer advocacy that you want to try? Like, go give a talk while you're still a software engineer. I would argue that a lot of people would be like, oh, here's an actual developer, not just someone who's a, there's kind of this negative connotation a little bit of developer advocates that they're just marketing people, that they're not actually developers. And that's false. You know, there are a few developer advocates like myself who did come from development, But, you know, if you are a software developer, that's your title and you're giving a talk, you have a little bit more authority. People kind of believe you more because you are not a developer advocate. So keep that in mind, whatever that means.
Yeah, as cliche as it sounds, like you've really got to stay true to yourself, and you've got to be very real and honest with yourself about what do you actually want, what are you good at, and what does the world need from you. And some people call this ikigai, which is a Japanese word, a concept of combining these four aspects of oneself to find, like, here's a thing that the world needs that you can get paid for, that you do really well, etc. And I think ikigai is something that is continually evolving. I think no two careers are the exact same. I think so many of us do kind of, you know, fall into things. But I think it's because we're really being honest with ourselves about what's interesting, what's exciting, what's new, but also what do we feel like we could really come in and excel at. And that's been the guiding light that I think I've had my entire career. And even now, I'm going to start looking at my next fractional CMO, I guess we could say role, but this would obviously be through Demand Maven, but I'm ready to kind of do another 3-year gig with a company. Like, I'm ready to do that again, especially since the company that I worked with for 3 years exited earlier this year. And I'm kind of getting the itch of, like, I think I want to help build a team again. And that's kind of, yeah, but I'm following that for myself. And I think that can only come with, like, really knowing yourself and understanding those aspects of what you need and what you're most interested in.
Work for free. And by that, I mean, if you are not in the space that you want to ultimately be in, you probably can't charge for a product or service in that space. But what you definitely can do is learn the skills and then do it for free as a way to prove and get, you know, context and reputation, rapport in the industry, and then use that as a selling mechanism. And that's how we got started. Is I had a podcast. I did a really terrible but okay enough job at producing my podcast. And to launch our service, I just approached a few of my friends. I was like, hey, can I just do this for you for free? And if you like it, you can pay me. It's going to be $300 a month or whatever it was at the time. And that was a way for me to kind of enter the space, have a no risk offer for them. Because the worst thing that could happen is I do a bad job and they have to do it anyhow. The best thing is they get an episode for free. The best for me is that leads to a customer. But I think this is really underutilized as an approach, because we all have this thing of like, well, that just doesn't work at scale. But of course it doesn't work at scale. Like, all you want is your first two customers or a case study to then go sell those, your first real customer. So that's the trick I like, is just suck it up for a while, right? And get that bit of sales enablement that you're looking for.
Optimize for what you're passionate about. There's the old saying where it's like, if you enjoyed what you do at work, then you'll never work a day in your life, which I get the idea behind that. It's not necessarily true. Like, you are definitely working and working hard, and you might be doing things that you don't want to do, but it just comes with the territory. But at the end of the day, that's going to be what keeps you going. So honestly, find something that you're passionate about and just hone in on that.
Be unapologetically weird. And what I mean by that is, I have spent my whole career doing stuff that when I first start talking about it, people look at me and kind of go, are you sure? And I see something that I think will work. I see something that I think is interesting, and I start kind of moving toward it. Right. And I, when I first, for example, right now with what I'm doing with Learn with Jason in the media, I remember my first conversations where I started saying, like, I think I want to make a game show. And the first conversation I had, they borderline laughed me out of the room, because they were like, why? Like, there's no reason to ever do something like that. But I knew I was right. And so, you know, this was in 2019, 2020, something like that, I first pitched this idea. And every year I got a little bit better at explaining what I wanted. I got a little more insight into what I could do. I did a few more projects that taught me more about how this thing worked. And now this weird thing that I was doing that nobody understood, I have a wait list for, and I have constant inbound interest in, because I found something that's working in a way that the old playbooks weren't, right? Like, I saw a way to go, that would work in a post-pandemic world where the old playbooks of meetups and conference booths and, you know, the sponsored talks, those sorts of things are all starting to, they'll probably come back someday, but they're not working right now. And so companies are just dumping thousands and thousands of dollars into these playbooks that don't work. But anybody who's working with me, they're getting the results that they used to get from their meetups and their conference booths and their stuff like that, because we found a different path, right? So suddenly the weird thing doesn't seem weird anymore. And I've got a head start because I've been looking at it for 5 years now. It's, you know, it won't last. And I'm sure that give it another, you know, 2-3 years, I'll be looking at the next weird thing and people be looking at me sideways wondering what the heck I'm on. But right now, you know, and this isn't the first time that I've done this in my career. I've kind of consistently trusted my gut and done the thing that felt like I can feel that this is where I'm supposed to go, even though it doesn't make sense to everybody else. But like, I see the path and I see the reasoning. So I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to, you know, not at the expense of, I've never been uncomfortable. I've always kept my job. It's always been on the side, but I apply constant gentle pressure toward whatever outcome I think I should be working toward. And every single time when I feel it strongly, I've been right. And I've been able to do something really interesting in my career because of trusting that urge to do something weird.
Don't take the easy path. I mean, actually, I guess that's not super unconventional, but I think look at all the paths in front of you and really choose the one that's going to work for you. I think there are so many paths that people have gone down that are well tracked. And I think it's okay to make a decision that's not like everybody else's and to kind of forge your own way around your career, because you'll land in the place you need to be. And if you look at me, I've been in so many different careers, so many different jobs, so many different companies. And somehow, I don't know, I landed on my feet. And I believe that's true for everyone. So don't be afraid to make that leap. If it's not going to work for you, then fall back on the thing that you know that you understand well, and then try again. Try another path or try that same path over again.
I don't know if this is unconventional, but I think it's perhaps so obvious that people don't say it. And so I'll just say the obvious. And I'll say that if you do this one thing, regardless of your career path, you will find success. And that's this. It's not hard. Well, let me say that again. It's not complicated. It is hard. And it's this. When you tell somebody that you're going to do something, then you do it. No matter what, do it. That's it. That's the tip. And that applies in any career. And that's so rare to find somebody who consistently does what they say they're going to do. You know, they follow up afterwards. They send that email. They deliver the message. Whatever it is, they finish the chore. They do the backup. Whatever it is, if you just do the things that you said you were going to do, you will be so valuable to so many people. Not just in the workplace, but especially in the workplace. And everybody will want to have you around, and they're going to want to give you things to do, and they're going to invest in you, because that's a very hard thing to accomplish. But if you just set your mind to it, like, oh, I said I was going to do this, I better do it. And then you do it, you'll find success.
I think that there's something that I'm trying to still, you know, tell myself and perfect, and, you know, I'm not good at this by any means, but that would be to not take feedback personally, because I, you know, I'm a very sensitive person, and, you know, I put a lot into the work that I do, and so, you know, I'm a perfectionist in that way, and so even if it's like a nice little like, oh, could you try this or do that? Then I'm like, oh no, I did it wrong. Like, I am a bad person and I am gonna get fired. I think that, you know, this is something that I'm still trying to work on when it comes to like receiving those comments. I think that a lot of times feedback, the word feedback has like a negative connotation to it. And it doesn't always have to be. I think that people that don't know how to, or like managers who don't know how to deliver feedback well, then that's when it comes across as the feedback, right? Versus kind of, you know, like reorienting or helping people pivot this direction in a way that is kind and not accusatory, if that makes sense. So managers, if you're listening, then that's, you know, that's the advice for you. That's, you know, but if you are the one who is receiving the feedback, I think that practicing your feeling of self-worth outside of your job and knowing that, you know, even if you make mistakes or have hiccups at work, that doesn't reflect on your capability or, you know, you as a person.
So what I always say, like my very best advice is to be a kind person. I don't know if I'd say this is unconventional necessarily. Maybe a lot of people say this, but of everything that I have experienced in my career, nothing has been more impactful than me trying to be a kind person, and nothing has made me less likely to want to work with somebody as them being not a kind person. And so you can be the best programmer in the world, but if nobody, well, first of all, if nobody knows, then that doesn't matter. So communicating is also very important. But if even if everybody knows you're the best and you know that you're the best and you're a jerk about it, then I don't care how good you are. I don't want to work with you. I'd rather work with somebody else, even if they're not as good as you are. And so being nice is cannot be overstated on how important that is, at least for me. Be thoughtful, make sure to give credit where it's due, be the kind of person that other people want to work with, and they will give you opportunities. I have countless experiences in my life where somebody gave me an opportunity and they only thought about me because they didn't hate me. Like they actually were interested in working with me. So be nice is my advice.
I think it goes back into the being a great force of instability. What I always tell people is that, you know, you're always like, it's a very fine line between getting promoted and getting fired. And if you're not, if you're somewhere in that middle where you're not in either of those camps, you're not doing your job effectively, especially as a product manager. You know, this is not literal, like not every product manager should be doing this. You know, like there are many roles in product management where not everybody in the company can basically go and try to change things up. You know, there are certain roles as a product manager though, where if you're working on a new product, if your job is to improve the process in the team and make some of these things work, you have the agency to go and try to do things differently because that's what you've been asked to do. And if in those situations, definitely try to not do what everyone else is doing, because in many ways, just like startups, just like smaller companies where, you know, if everyone is doing something in one direction, your chance of success increase greatly if you're doing something different. Otherwise, you're going to be competing for very small amounts of whatever resources are going to be distributed. And so disrupting is a huge part of like why we see, you know, NVIDIA having done really well in the last like, you know, 10 years compared to other companies that did similar things. Or if you look at AI specifically, no one predicted 2 or 3 years ago that we're going to be in a world where you can chat to an agent or talk to an agent or even just, you know, describe something visually and then have some, you know, some level of information back that is more than just a search. Those are things that no one anticipated, but it required somebody out there to think about going like, you know, I'm going to do something different here. I'm going to tie this, you know, really large model with something else. You know, for example, we have with Transformers, you know, Google created Transformers paper. They did not use it beyond like, you know, the academic areas, or they had it internally, but it wasn't really publicized. It took someone else to kind of like, you know, I'm going to do something different here. I'm going to ignore the naysayers and the critics. I'm going to do something very different. I look at careers in many ways as that as well, because if you want to be successful in your career and you're making that your primary key, not your hobby reinforcing career, but a career reinforcing hobby and doing side projects to help your career be better, try to find ways where you can be different and try to improve things that are broken, because those are things that people are always know is a problem. No one has any idea how to fix it. And if you can come in and be the person and highlight, maybe there are ways we can do this better, do it faster, do it more effectively. Those are the things that often require unconventional ways of thinking and getting things done, which may benefit you more greatly in the long run than just towing the party line.
I will say, before you said the following my footsteps part, the thing I was going to say is just chill a bit. If you can, of course, you know, we all have to make ends meet and all that. So the degree to which you can chill may vary. I also say that as like, we don't know each other that well, but I also say that as a person who is known to be exceptionally unchill in her life. And that's also where the, you know, don't follow in my footsteps is coming from. It's something I'm learning a bit more. I did a 10-minute breathing meditation this morning, also I think for the first time in about 8 years. And I feel like that was very good for me. But yeah, so the, and I also say that as a person who's like, I mean, I mentioned all the things I'm working on right now, and that wasn't even like half of the list, because I felt like we should get to the actual topic of this. Like, I'm a very curious person. A lot of my kind of what became career growth started as things that I was really curious about and things that interested me that I don't want to say that I was passionate about, because it's a word that's so overused in job postings. But, you know, for example, public speaking, I started because I wanted more people to be excited about contributing to open source projects that could really use some help with marketing, for example. That was my first talk, and that's how I ended up speaking at a conference. Or, you know, the whole thing about leadership and building teams, I initially started because there was a need. Like, there was a need for someone to do some freaking project management and to like help these people who were all on the brink of burnout get to at least somewhat of a better place. And then the place where I'm now, where, you know, I've been in the workplace for almost 20 years now, and things are kind of making sense. There are patterns. There is sort of a career, I can barely say it without the air quotes, that came later. And of course, you know, there are a lot of things where I met the right people at a good time, where I had support from great people, and where I also put in a lot of work. Like, I wasn't someone who was strategic about my career. I still have questions about, you know, where is this going to go? What am I going to do in the next years? I almost started a yarn shop in the last couple months. That might still happen. But so basically to say, for such a long time, I felt so rushed. And I felt like I really had to prove something. And of course, all the, like, you know, 20 under 20 and 30 under 30 and whatnot paid lists aren't helping. And so I think there's a lot of pressure, and understandably so, but at the same time, like, if you can, you know, take some breaks occasionally, do the things that you care about. Like, the reason that, I mean, the podcast I mentioned earlier, like, I'm self-funding, I'm doing it because it's something I've believed for years that it needs to be out there, and I, you know, can make it happen now. Do the things that you care about. There are things you may have to do for the brand or for the for the unfun things, but find things that bring you joy, find good people that you can connect with and spend time with, because there are a lot of them in the industry, even if we all are somewhat introverts standing in corners awkwardly, but like, find your introvert somewhere. That's probably my advice.
I would say just start, honestly. Get inspired and just start. You can take some ideas from some inspiration for when I sort of described starting the shows. I knew 4 to 5 things I could have for the podcast, 4 or 5 topics and people. And after that, I'm done. I'm out of ideas. I don't know anything. I've only been doing Python for a year or two. How am I supposed to come out and be the one that carries the torch, right? But you figure it out, right? You get inspired. You're like, this is awesome. People are loving it. I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to find a way. And you just, Once you get moving, it's a whole lot easier to grow with the situation you're putting yourself into, rather than staring back and looking up at a mountain and going, "That's pretty high. Maybe I'll just play some games." You know,
I don't even know if this is always true. You get to within your constraints. You know, we all have different set of life constraints, but you get to choose what you're going to do with that. You're allowed to build your own way of doing things. You're allowed to, I mean, for me, that was like, I want to be able to take a month off and make a show with my theater company. So how do I build my career around that? I want to be able to have my afternoons to think about an art project. How do I build a career that gives me that? And it takes trade-offs. I'm not saying that it's easy or you get everything. You know, I have turned down a lot of money to get to do what I want with my time. And it's a good trade-off for me. And you get to make those trade-offs. You get to decide those things. You don't have to go work for Apple. You don't have to go work for Google. It's not the only path. You get to come up with your own paths, and they're not always going to work out, but you're allowed to try things. You're even allowed to fail at them and then try something else. That's fine. Yeah. And I know that can feel hard and risky because you also have to buy food and sleep somewhere, but you're allowed to try.
I don't know that it's unconventional, but I think for me it is just the fact that if you found out something, if you've done something that you found interesting in your day, you know, in your work day, and it doesn't matter how junior you are and whether you are just learning to code right now, you will know things. You'll have found things out, you'll have stumbled over stuff that will be useful to somebody else. And you know, start there, because writing down what you're doing or sharing it as YouTube shorts or whatever it is that you're doing, you know, however, you know, there's lots of different ways to share content these days when I started, but just that act of saying, I learned a cool thing, it might be useful to someone else, here it is, this is what I did. And don't worry that 100 other people have taught similar things, because you've got your own sort of take on it and someone will find that useful. And I think, you know, and in the process of sharing, you'll learn a lot more yourself as well. And you'll learn like the next thing you want to explore.
I'm not sure. Unconventional, this is. It's to learn, first learn the rules, then master the rules, then learn when you can break the rules. That's it. So anything that I say or anyone else who is successful, they may have rules of thumbs and frameworks. And I say, like, never do B2C. And I say, you know, have a marketing approach first. And I say, you know, there's all these things that don't start a two-sided marketplace, whatever. Some people break those and are successful, but it's not the first time person. It's someone who is a master at something, right? And I say master, you're even a few years in and just have the experience. The advice online from the right people, pick who you, you know, their advice is pick carefully who you listen to, because there are people out there just not who don't know what they're talking about, but pick those folks who have the success that you want and who have done it while maintaining a personal life that you admire. That's the big thing, right? I know jerks who misuse people and are successful. Is that what you're willing to do to get there? If so, then follow them. And if not, then follow someone else, right? But anyway, so you follow them, you listen. You need some creativity. You can't just follow rules. Rules are not going to get you there. Rules are guideposts, and you have to bring your own energy and creativity and figure out the way to get there. And then once you start having success, then you can be like, you know what? I get it. I get that what Rob said was, it's about 90, 95%, but I know where the edge is now. I know that I maybe I could do freemium and pull it off, even though Rob says you probably shouldn't.
Okay, I have two. I think that money is one of the most important things in life. I think it is relationships, health, and money. And if you have money, you probably have better relationships and you have better health. And the thing that really made the difference in me being able to have the career I had is that my husband and I were very diligent about saving our money and investing our money and living below our means for a really long time. And then after that, when my company was acquired, that gave us another little boost of income. And so we were able to stay in the game for longer because we could financially afford to do that. And I don't think we talk about that enough. Like, so much about entrepreneurship is being able to manage money, whether it's your company's money or your personal income, long enough to stay in the game. I had to fail for 3 years before I finally feel like I'm on the right track. And even now, it could still end up a failure, right? Like, we're just getting started. I don't know what's going to happen, but I feel like I'm onto something. But it took a really long time to get there. And the only reason I'm still around is because I was really good at managing my personal finances and I was really good at managing my company finances. And so being good at money, living below your means for as long as you possibly can, saving money for as long as you can, investing your money and I'm a big fan of index funds. I think those things make a huge difference in you being able to stay in the game long enough for the game to win the game, right? And I think that just as important as that is managing your emotional runway. I would never like recommend entrepreneurship as a career path because it sucks and it's really hard and it's really painful and it's so frustrating. But if you must build a product, if you must build a business, it is really important to figure out how you're going to manage your feelings because you're going to feel like a failure. You're going to feel confused. I felt so confused all the time. You're going to feel depressed. You're going to feel anxious. And so you have to figure out how you're going to manage that. Does that look like therapy? Does that mean you get a career coach? Does that mean you have an accountability buddy? Does that mean you have a friend that you meet with? I have two meetings with two of my best friends that I've had where we meet every week to talk about our lives and our careers. And I've had them for 10 years. It's a standing meeting on my calendar for 10 years. And so is that what you do? Do you have a standing meeting with a close friend? Do you join an online founder group? Like, where are you getting your emotional runway? Because when things get hard, when you want to quit, what is going to keep you going? What is going to help you stay in the game? So managing your money and managing your emotions are extremely crucial in doing anything that is hard.
Thank you so much for listening, watching, sharing, and just enjoying the Work Item in the past year. I hope that 2025 brings you more career success, more career progression. And if you want to catch up on any of the older episodes, go to theworkitem.com. I'm excited to see you in 2025 with more awesome guests. See you soon.